What up, Fanatics? It's another edition of the Seniors here at CycloneFanatic.com. I'm Jared Stansbury, joined by Rob Gray. I almost said I'm joined by Jared Stansbury.
Yeah, I won't be uttering any unos in this one. It's cuatro this time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nota.
A Tuesday edition.
Indeed. We're always all over the place. We're renegades. We sort of take over our brief little time slot, and wherever it falls, wherever we can finagle our way in, we do it. And here we are.
Iowa State losing to Iowa over the weekend, so it's kind of a dim weekend, I suppose, for the Fanatics. But definitely some things to feel happy about still, even though they lost the game.
Yeah, well, I think one of the biggest takeaways is the defense can be pretty good. And there are some gamers on that defense. You know, losing to Mon Tucker as they did midway through whatever it was, 8 minutes left in the second quarter. And, you know, yeah, it had a big impact, but they also learned what can be done under those circumstances. So there were some valuable lessons learned, but, I mean, as we know, they had to go at least 2-1 in this non-conference. And, you know, they've got the one there on the bad side and need to regroup against a Toledo team that, I mean, what a weird game. You give up over 500 yards of offense, over 400 yards passing. Arkansas doesn't turn the ball over, but Toledo still sails out of Fayetteville with this 16-12 win. I've never seen that. I know what's happened, but that kind of, you know, roll up 500, you go up and down the football field five times and you manage one touchdown. It's crazy.
Especially after Coach Bielema and his comments earlier in the week about strength of schedule, and then you see them lose to a MAC team in week number two.
That dude shouldn't open his mouth very often. He should speak when spoken to. But, I mean, again, back – and I'm sorry I took us down the road a little bit, but the offense is clearly – you know, maybe it's lightning in a bottle. Maybe it finally starts clicking this week on the road. Sam Richardson was okay. I mean, he threw the bad pick, but, I mean, he's obviously almost in panic mode there. You need to move the chains, and people aren't getting open. The takeaways for me on the offense is receivers aren't getting open. The offensive line will open two really big holes in the running game, and then the rest of the running game the day, it's rough sledding. And, you know, Sam, captain, fifth-year senior, I mean, at some point, needs to lift the team on his back, like really good to great quarterbacks do. I know they want him to manage a game, but you can't, you know, when you're putting up 17 points, you need somebody who goes beyond managing the game. So it'll be interesting to see. He's still got 10 games left, you know, regular season. So, you know, a lot of room for growth for that offense. But I think the defense is, ahead of where we thought they would be, even with the infusion of talent that the JUCOs like Tucker, Jay Jones, et cetera, bring.
And I don't, I mean, by no means is it time to hit the panic button at this point if you're Iowa State fans. But I think the thing that is most troublesome to me is their complete inability to run the football. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want anyone to be able to respect your offense, you have to be able to run the football. Not 200 yards a game, you know, not, you don't need to have a Heisman Trophy winner, but you need to have something that is a respectable running game where you can get 100 to 150 yards every game just to keep the other team from being able to completely sell out on covering your receivers like Iowa was able to do. And like you said, you didn't see the receivers being able to get open then, and that's how you end up with guys like DeVario Montgomery only making one catch. And it just wasn't, you know, those receivers just didn't quite seem to have that same playmaking ability that they do, or people thought that they would.
Yeah. And again, it's small sample size, two games, but not seeing much separation, you know, from some of those guys. Now, let's not forget Bunder just coming off an ACL tear, so getting consistency in his routes and really that sixth sense that you have to break free, that's going to come. Montgomery, I don't know what's going on there. I would expect that he finds a way to. Very impressed with Jawan Wesley and Dondre Daly through 2 weeks. So obviously, Wesley didn't play in week one due to suspension, but he was a, that one-handed catch was something. As he said, great play by me in the post game. Pretty good throw by Sam too.
Yeah.
You know, so again, glimpses on offense. Like last season, you'd see glimpses, and then back to almost flat line. So we'll see if glimpses can turn into you know, more frequent long looks. Starting at Toledo, and rough game, 7.5. It's up to the the line there. I think it opened at 6.5. So I really have no clue what to expect out of Toledo, and in Iowa State in its first road test. You know, sometimes that brings out the best in you when you get away and it's hostile and it's just the guy next to you that you're playing for and playing with.
Right.
So we'll see, I guess.
I think the thing that is the most unknown about Toledo is, you know, you don't know what you're going to get from Kareem Hunt after he didn't play in the first, well, one game. I guess they've only played one game so far. But he's one of the best backs in college football, and Paul Rhodes made that pretty clear yesterday, I'd say.
Absolutely. And they didn't run. I mean, they're known for their great running backs. Now, Arkansas is also, as an SEC team that's rebuilt itself by excelling in the running game, which it didn't against Toledo, and by stopping them, which it did against Toledo. I think the Alabama transfer quarterback for Toledo, also had a big day. Corey, blanking on his last name, went for over 100 yards receiving. Corey Jones? I'm going to get it wrong. But a really good receiver for Toledo and some other guys. Again, that game was so strange, and there were so many anomalies in it. I'm not sure what to take from it. Is Toledo a better team than Arkansas? I'm thinking they're not.
No.
And I'm thinking that that game was an outlier. Now, is Toledo a better team than Iowa State? I think it very well could be. Mm-hmm. But, back to what you said about the running game. I mean, even if it's just cover, and I wonder if you maybe more design runs for Sam. Go back to that a little bit. I know you don't want him to get hurt, but he didn't look comfortable when he ran the ball. He's either reluctant to run the ball, or they are telling him not to run the ball. But I think for them to get any traction in the running game, some of them have to be at least semi-improvised runs by him, or well-designed runs that catch the defense off guard. Then the defense can't do. I thought Wendell Taisi was very insightful in availability yesterday, discussing when Iowa realized, okay, we've got the run cleaned up completely and they're not going to be able to do it. They could do everything, five-man front, four-man front, stunts, twists. They could bring blitzes when they felt like it. So not only could they cover guys better in double-teaming at times, whether it be man or a zone look, they're able to bring pressure almost any time they wanted.
Right.
And, boy, when a defense can do that, you're pretty pretty hampered in your offensive game plan and execution.
Right. It's hard to be it's hard to be a predictable offense. You know, schools like Wisconsin and Iowa and places like that, they can be predictable because their offensive lines are so good that they line up. They say, we're going to run it straight down your throat, and we don't care what you do. We're going to keep doing it all day long.
Yep.
And you saw Iowa do that Saturday, especially after Tucker got out. I mean, there's times where the Iowa State defensive line is getting pushed so far back by their offensive line that before Jordan Kanziri was even being touched, he'd already gotten 3 to 4 yards down the field. And if you're able to get just 3 to 4 yards consistently on first down every single time, it's so much easier to manage 2nd and 6 to 3rd and 3 or whatever like that.
Yep.
Instead of being in, you throw an incomplete pass on first down, or you lose a yard on a run on a running play. And then you're in 2nd and long, subsequently 3rd and long. It's just so hard to be able to continue to move the football like that. And that's what happens at Iowa State a lot.
And, yeah, we saw it. I mean, and Iowa just got stronger as that game went on. I think there were 4 or 4 on 3rd downs in the 4th quarter when they made their big run to win it. Iowa State has to be unpredictable. Let's face it, most teams in the Big 12 have to be unpredictable most games. I mean, even a Baylor that puts up so many points, one of the things that makes them so good is the fact the teams can't figure out what they're going to do.
Right.
I mean, almost every team wants to run first, quote unquote, even Baylor. But they also realize that sometimes that's not feasible. And how do you open it up?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the plan that took over was you stretch the whole field. You use every inch from sideline to sideline, not just goal line to goal line. And it's worked for them. It's been obviously a tougher implementation and execution for Iowa State, but I still think all the pieces are there. I mean, and I happen to think that UNI is a pretty good defense, FCS or FBS. So
well, you saw them get a win over Eastern Washington over the weekend. And yeah. I mean, they put up almost 40 points on Oregon, I think.
Yeah, they did. I think, what was it, 61-42?
Yeah.
And then UNI beat some 38-35.
Yeah.
I mean, that's they've got some players on defense there. So, I mean, back to what you said about the panic button, I think, part you know, you played two darn good defenses. Now, when you're trying to change a culture of your offense, which is underachieving based on what you see
right.
at certain position groups, particularly the wide receiver position, you know, if you've really changed it, I guess you go in and feast on whoever's there. But I think sometimes it's a baby steps process, which Iowa State can't afford any more of. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly possible that what they've done, they've learned from. Taisi said that some of the problems were literally trying to do too much.
Right.
Guys say, being worried about, I don't know if my guy can get this guy. I got to hedge that way. Mm-hmm. You can't play winning football that way. And plus, it's like being afraid to fail. Sometimes those guys have to fail, and then you can diagnose what the problem is. Can this guy clean it up and not fail the next time? That's the only way you make progress. If you,
right.
you know, patch it up, if you put a Band-Aid on it, that guy didn't get in for that one sack. Well, you're masking problems even on film to some degree. I hate that it's called film still, by the way. And I have to put it in there because that's what everybody says. And what are you going to do? Every now and then I just say video. But nothing makes sense really now in this day and age where it's, you know, thrown up here and there. That's an aside. But film, tape, I just like to think of – I like a tape. I like to think of, you know, like a big old
– A VHS
not even VHS.
Tape,
go no? back. I'm old enough that okay. I can go back to the giant ones they used to pull out when they carted the TV with the knobs on it into our classrooms.
Like a Betamax
like a three-quarters. They were smaller.
Oh.
It's like a three-quarters, whatever they called it. They're like the size of most, you know, hardcover books when they come out. I'm dating myself by mentioning books as well. But – just one of those. Just pop one of those in. It takes forever. You get lines on the screen. You got to get to channel 3. Fire up that tape. They used to have to go and exchange these things.
Yeah.
Film canisters.
Right.
Oh,
yep.
Great stories from those days. But
yeah, now I'm just imagining Paul Rhodes sitting down in the beautiful Bergstrom complex with a big like movie film thing.
Yeah.
With all the games on.
Threading it in there and getting it going.
I actually, my family.
Put it in reverse.
My family actually owned a movie theater for a while. I learned how to do that.
Nice.
Yeah. It's one of, I couldn't
do you remember the films that were shown?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was like just the, we had one screen and it was just like the weekly movies. Not usually the new ones.
Yeah.
The new ones don't come to Clarendon
for a while
opening weekend.
Yeah,
we're not hip enough to get the.
No,
the big movies.
They have to go to big markets, you know. They have to, you know, per theater, per screen, they got to reap a certain amount of money, and I'm sure it's a pretty small place. So it's a good skill to have, man.
Yeah.
It's a good skill to have. A throwback skill.
Kind of back to Iowa State football now. A thought that I had yesterday was if they go to Toledo and lose, just think how – all of that positive momentum that they'd built up, all the culture change, it almost feels like that's all going to go out the window. And it's like, well, dang, now we're right back where we were last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it can't for them, obviously. It just can't.
Mm-hmm. But I see that being how it is for the fan base.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you look at it, and then you say, oh, my gosh, if we're going to get to a bowl game, we're going to have a winning record in Big 12 play.
Right.
Hasn't happened under Rhodes, obviously, and we know what happened last year. No wins in Big 12 play. Look, I know for most people that was a long shot even coming into the season, even with market improvement, even with the culture renewed and all that stuff. But it becomes a very stark, whoa, this is not going to happen kind of situation unless – you know, something totally unforeseen and unprecedented happens, and they do, you know, go 5-4 in Big 12 play. So, yeah, that would be a harsh reality to face at that point. And then you start to wonder where you're going to get wins. I mean, You get Kansas and Texas Tech. Those were the winnable games we talked about earlier. It's like, oh, my gosh, what if they lose to, you know, and it, all of it becomes what ifs, negative type of what ifs rather than the hopeful wishes.
Right. That's what I was going to say is, like, instead of being, you know, oh, what if they won the first five games of the year, they're 5-0 when TCU comes to town, stuff like that, it's going to be, oh, what if they lose to Toledo and then they lose all the rest of them and they go 1-11 or something like that. It goes from all of that positive momentum that they had before the season, and it seemed like, you know, they'd pumped enough sunshine to get people to maybe jump back on the bandwagon a little bit, and then everything just falls off in week three because you go on the road and lose to a MAC team. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it kind of seems like that's not the road that we're starting to move towards.
Yeah, yeah, potentially. I mean, and then you know, you get the record crowds, the sellouts with the South End Zone opening and all the shiny new stuff there, and I'm sure that had a fair amount to do with it. I'm sure there are a number of people that have abandoned the bandwagon and are very reluctant to jump back on, but that long-sought upgrade, they do it. But if you keep losing games, you're going to start to see people say, yeah, that's nice, but I might as well sit in my living room on Saturday from here on out. But this is an uncharacteristically pessimistic sort of...
Yeah, it is.
It's like we...
It's bumming me out.
It is. Well, why not? Let's, you know...
I know something happy that we can talk about that we haven't talked about yet. Our bike ride. Haven't even been mentioned yet.
We faced adversity.
We did.
And I... overcame it. Your adversity was much greater, though. I mean, you've got this super long torso. Like I said, it's like you're a sail.
Mm-hmm.
You're going into this persistent 15 mile per hour wind with no wind breaks around us once we got on the trail, the lane from Slater to Ames. I could see that's taking it out of you. And you got a big, heavy bike, good, sturdy bike, it looks like. But yeah. I mean,
well, my tire's flat now too. I have to get a new tube.
Oh,
so
geez.
I was probably—it was on its last leg.
It was a good thing.
Yeah, its last stand.
I knocked off my bike computer somewhere along there. It's lost, so I've got to get a new bike computer.
It was a heck of a journey. I will be completely honest. It made Friday into an extremely long day. It made the whole weekend really long.
Yeah, yeah. I felt pretty good once I got to Jack Dry Stadium. Then I find out that they're doing their radio from Ames High. And I was like, well, you know, it doesn't matter. I did this to do this.
Yeah.
I thought it would be good. Kind of like the Iowa State men's basketball team going to Spain.
Right.
This was our bonding moment.
Exactly. When we stopped in between Slater and Ames and you said, you know, I'm not going to think any less of you if you quit. And we started and you're like, all right, we'll stop another mile. And I went another mile and I got to that point where I was like, man, I just can't go anymore.
You'd never gone more than 10 miles in one stint, and you went 18 miles.
Right. So, I'm pleased with myself. That's a long way to ride a bike.
It is. It is, particularly with what's the payoff at the end? I mean, for me, I've done enough long rides, and being older, I guess it's nice to do it. I mean, if I had been your age, I'd been like, okay, so if I finish this, so what? You know? That's exactly how I would have been
That's exactly what my roommate said. He's like, well, I got home. My buddy came and picked me up, and he dropped me. I got home, and I sit down on my couch. My roommate's like, so you didn't finish? No, I didn't finish. Well, he called me a name that wasn't very nice.
Mm.
And I was like, I'd like to see you do it. He's like, I wouldn't do it. There's no reason to do it.
The old man made you do it. the senior. The other senior.
And
it's still a good experience, isn't it? I mean, you see the world from a different perspective there.
And I got to go to Sheldahl and Slater. I went to the Nighthawk in Slater.
Nice place.
Yeah, very nice place. If you're ever on the High Trestle Trail, make sure and stop at the Nighthawk.
Yeah, or just going through Slater.
Yeah.
You had a nice meal there.
Yeah, very good burgers. Very good burgers.
Some
the Busch Light is tasty,
on tap,
as always.
Yeah. I had an Exile on tap that was very good. I can't remember which variety. So, we're just saying this out of the goodness of our hearts, of course. As renegade podcasters, we don't have sponsors. We're not beholden to anyone except for Iowa State fans. So,
and
hit us up with
and
your
Cyclone Fanatic. Just the fanatics.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I meant. But good clarification.
Yeah.
So what else we got?
We got to get Ted Flint on the podcast.
We do. That's a goal.
This is like a public outcry to say, help us get Ted Flint to Iowa and help us get him on the podcast.
Yeah.
On the seniors.
Yeah, he'll be here sometimes, but I mean, it's hard to do a podcast, obviously, around the game, doing coverage and everything else. Maybe we can figure out a way to have him do it over the phone.
That would be cool. That would be, or like Skype.
We could do a vlog then, so we could do the little screen. Yeah, have the Skype of Ted Flint there.
Or it could be like,
you hear this every now and then.
Screen. Yeah. I think he said there's a 2-drink minimum, so.
Yeah, and I think that's okay. We'd sort of be off the clock. It would be kind of like the seniors after hours.
Right.
I could have my, what would it be?
It'd be like,
what I'd be drinking.
It would be
Ensure, I suppose.
It would be like the middle of the week version of the Flawcast.
Yeah. Yeah. We've got a bit of a more edge. We got a bit more edge to us than those guys. I mean, they've got it easy. They're reeling off names of all their sponsors and supporters, and here we are. We're just the seniors.
Yeah.
We go for bike rides.
And
we cover Iowa State sports. We listen to you guys as well. So
we need to take some questions next week.
Feedback. Yeah, absolutely. And look forward to next week. It will be a momentous week because it will be, as you said, I mean, if they go to Toledo and get beat, in any fashion, I think, even if it's one of those heartbreakers, which they've had a share of in these last two seasons, even though they haven't come close to a bowl game, they've still had a lot of those close losses and even a close win or two sprinkled in. But
I remember we were talking about them possibly losing to Toledo last year, and then that game came and they won.
The offense was spectacular
easily,
that day.
Yeah.
Sam Richardson's best career day, 351 yards.
That was the first time he broke the completions record, wasn't it?
I think so. And,
yeah.
And also encouraging from that game is not only he has that memory to draw back on, he's going to see, you know, but top three receivers that day, Lazard, Montgomery, Daly, you know, so guys that are emerging, and you hope, you know, Montgomery adds a little bit more, you know, did it against Toledo last year. And Toledo looks very vulnerable in the passing game. If Arkansas's putting up over 400 yards on you, you know, back to what you said and what we said about the running game, any type of track, if you can do anything to keep them honest there, you've got to feel good about your you know, the possibility of taking advantage of what looks to be a porous secondary.
I have a question that's just kind of off the top of my head, but I just thought of this. I saw during the game the other day that Sam is within reach of breaking the all-time record for touchdowns, or the school record for touchdowns at Iowa State. If he was able to do that, what do you think his legacy as a quarterback would be like at Iowa State?
It would be that he's thrown the most touchdown passes in Iowa State history. And obviously dependent on what happens this season and the one loss.
Right. Obviously, this is something that we would talk about at the end of the season. But it just popped in my head, like right now. I just had to say it.
Yeah, I think it would absolutely not have. Any quarterback's legacy, what people are going to look back on, whether they remember that he was a good quarterback or a not so good quarterback, is how did the team do?
Right.
And obviously, it's been very rough with Sam as starter in recent years, and that's not even remotely all on him, but that's what happens when you're the quarterback. It's like what Chris told me the post-game call-in, the reaction show was like. You know, you're going to be the guy that's identified as the reason that you win or you lose, even though it's lots of guys, and even though, you know, there are so many factors involved in either a winning season or a losing season, that's, you know, you're the face, like it or not. You're the one that people are going to dissect every last thing that you do or don't do. So, you know, for his sake, and obviously for the program's sake and the Fanatics' sake, you hope that legacy ends on an uptick. And,
exactly.
Certainly he's done against Toledo before, and if he can get them rolling there, then again, it's hopeful again. You look at Kansas and you say, oh, that's automatic. Okay, 3-1. If you're 3-1 and you're feeling good about yourself, you can go into Texas Tech. Regardless, I know Tech has Arkansas in Fayetteville this week, which will be an interesting game to watch as well. But such a huge difference. And, you know, I guess in a number of days, we'll kind of see where the mood, whether the mood is shot back up or whether it's you know, like a tin can being dragged behind a truck.
How's it going to go this weekend? What's your prediction?
I think Iowa State wins.
I think so, too.
I think the offense isn't yet what it was anticipated to be, but I think it's good enough. I think with DeMond Tucker back, and we didn't talk to him yesterday, but I believe I spotted him in the parking lot, and he didn't even have a boot on him.
That's
which,
good.
if your ankle must be pretty good if they're not still just saying, hey, keep the boot on for a while, you know what
yeah.
I mean? His impact, you know, whether it can be quantified in what happened, because they did give up yards on the ground with him in there, but nonetheless,
right.
it was very different. You know, some of those yards were the giant Beathard scramble.
The play he made when he blew through the line and tackled C.J. Beathard, that might be one of the best plays I've seen an Iowa State player make since I got here.
Oh, yeah, and he's going to do that a few times every game, and he's also going to make the guys next to him better, the guys behind him better. Mm-hmm. At linebacker and secondary. So,
tip of the cap to Dale Pearson, too.
Yeah, 5 sacks. Leads the nation.
Leads the nation in sacks.
Corey Morrissey had 6 last season, I believe, in 12 games, and Dale Pearson has 5 and 2. And the Cyclones, I don't believe as a team, have gone over 18, 19 sacks since at least the first year of Chizik, if not going back to McCarney. And I think it was McCarney the last time that they had true pressure beyond, you know, 1.5 times a game in terms of sacks. And so that's shaping up good. Jay Jones has a couple, you know, Tucker. I mean, they're producing a lot of pressure. That defense is going to be fun. Regardless of what happens, the defense is going to be fun to watch as the season winds along.
They all seem like good dudes, too. I would hang out with those guys.
Yeah. They stand there and they take any question.
Right. Jordan
they're
Harris,
thoughtful dudes.
He is very good about taking any question and giving a good answer for it.
Mm-hmm. Jay Jones, I found to be that way.
Dale Pearson is pretty good too.
He is. I mean, they very impressed with how those guys have conducted themselves in the interview room and on the field at this point. So we'll keep an eye out for more improvement there. And you know, I'm interested to see also how Kewan Floyd, if I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, comes back at safety. I think he's a critical player to that defense that gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah.
When he was out, obviously caught and forced a fumble, but gave up a couple of big plays in coverage, kind of a one-on-one situation, it seemed like. So he's supposed to be back as well. No Sam E. Richardson and no Gabe Luna at DN, but otherwise looks to be a pretty healthy unit that I think will perform pretty darn well at Toledo on Saturday night.
One last question. Who's going to be Iowa State's leading rusher?
In the game or the season?
In the game. Will we see another Trevor Ryan at the top of the stat sheet?
I think it's going to be Sam Richardson.
Okay.
I
can respect that.
I know that they've wanted to protect him a fair amount, but I still think if the running game is going to get going at all, you have to run him some. You have to. It can't be, oh, my gosh, we don't want to run Sam at all because he might get hurt. I mean, you just have to let it hang out as far as that goes. And I think it'll be spread around, too. And they'll do just enough on the ground but have a much better day through the air than they have through the first two games.
There you go. That's what Rob says.
It just means I'm probably wrong. Go against me. What was it, George Costanza, old school show, Seinfeld? But
I've seen Seinfeld. I'm not that young, Rob.
Yeah, I know, but what was it? He decided he was going to live his life. He was going to, whatever his first inclination was, he was going to do the opposite. And it was working out just fantastically for him. It was like, wow, I'm doing the opposite. It worked out. So my words are occasionally wise, but sometimes off. So we'll see. Hopefully we're right on for this week's game.
All right. So make sure you stay tuned to CycloneFanatic.com for the rest of the week. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Have a great week.